Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back, Richard. It's a new week. A new day, right. A new week, and here we go.
No, I had a little mind bend there. I was thinking about how you were telling somebody that I can't keep my days straight here. So I was just thinking, it's a new week. Yeah. Like, okay, now what's the date today?
Are you asking me? Or
I am. No.
We are recording on December 10th, but this podcast will go out on December 11th.
Oh, okay. So I'm with you. Today is the December 10th. So we're in real time.
Well, if that's what you need.
Well, yeah, it is, because there's real time, and then there's, what do they call it, synchronous and asynchronous online stuff.
So. Right.
This is really December the 10th.
Well,
it's very cold in Florida today.
Oh, it was freezing yesterday.
Since we can talk about December 10th, there's snow all over the place.
Yeah,
except
not
in Florida.
Yeah.
But it's very cold here. Well, we say very cold.
Look, here's what I'm going to say. We had a soccer tournament yesterday. With my little six and seven year olds.
Real hard when it gets cold like that.
Sometimes, but we were playing with my little six and seven year olds.
That's right.
And it was so cold. It was because the front was still moving in while we were playing, so it was misty and it was raining.
When did you?
And
early.
We played. Our first match was at 11.
Oh,
so it was still. Mm-hmm. And the wind. And then with the 2 o'clock game, we had two games. With the 2 o'clock match. Then the wind started.
Oh, my
gosh, it was so cold.
I'm thinking about tomorrow morning.
I was like, let's just hurry up and oh, yeah, we're going to go for a walk tomorrow morning. You know who's going
to
show
bundle up?
You know who's going to show up with lots of
You're
layers?
You're going to have mucklucks and a parka.
I get cold, man.
No, it's going to be cold tomorrow. But it's cold here all the way into the 50s. It's cold.
Is that all it was? Is that all it was yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The Army-Navy game was played yesterday. I don't know whether it was played in, if it was Army, it would have been New York. If it was Navy, it would have been Maryland. But it snowed, heavy snow the entire game. The field was covered with snow, and the players were covered with snow. And for the Army-Navy game, they have the midshipmen and the cadets in their, winter uniforms. And they had to stand in the snow for, I don't know, 3 hours. But, I guess it's snowing in Atlanta and
Mexico.
Is it really?
Snowed in Mexico yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, so we didn't get any snow, but it was cold here yesterday.
Yeah.
And today.
Yes.
Right? Is it going to be cold today?
Yeah. We have another match this afternoon, so we'll see what happens.
So we're in real time. This is December 10th, so this is going to be going out December the 11th. I have to orient myself to time.
I know. I know. Okay. I'm sorry it's so confusing.
Life is confusing. My life is confusing right now. There's so much going on, with holidays and final exams. And
right, it's the end of the semester, so we have all that stuff going on.
This is a busy time of year.
It sure is. So, but today we're going to talk. We're going to kick off a new week. We got a variety of topics that we're going to cover this week, and we're going to start out with an article or blog post from the American Psychological Association Psych Learning Curve. Mm-hmm. And this was written by our very own Den Riloho and our friend from Psych Reg. But this was posted on the APA Psych Learning Curve website. And the link is in the show notes, but it's a fantastic article that actually covers a topic that I'm doing my talk on next year in August. I'm going to be... We're both presenting. We're both keynote presenters at the International Conference for Psychology, Counseling, and Education in the Philippines. I've never been to the Philippines, nor have you.
No.
But well, you've been to a lot of different places.
I've never been east. Oh, I guess that's west. Going west to get it. Columbus settled that.
One way or the other, you're going to get there.
Right. But it's a long trip. And, I'm not claustrophobic, but... That many hours in an airplane is something I'm not looking forward to.
Yeah.
I'm not really claustrophobic, but I hate to be I like to move around. I like to be able to move around.
Yeah.
In fact, we're going to be talking about moving around and sitting sometime this week.
In just a little bit.
But yes, the trip to the Philippines is an adventure.
Yeah, it's going to be early August. So if you are, any of you that are listening who are interested in checking that out or going to that, the link will be in the show notes to learn more about the conference and how you can get some more information if you want to. If you're a researcher or a psychologist or a mental health professional or educator or anything like that, and you want to present, the link is there. We're still taking submissions for paper presentations and also all that is still ongoing.
Right.
So, but all that to say, I'll be presenting on this topic, especially certain portions of this topic at that conference for my keynote
talks. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but this is called. Entitled, Help Your Students Believe in Themselves, Self-Efficacy in the Classroom.
Right.
And so this, what Den talks about here is some things that we can do to help increase students' perception or feelings of self-efficacy in school.
Right.
Because self-efficacy is critical. I mean, self-efficacy is really important.
Right, right. And this comes as a, this is a very current topic in education and psychology because just a few years ago, there was this general assumption that if you wanted students to do something, you had to give them a reward
of some type.
Or if you wanted to keep them working, you had to reward them in some way. And then psychologists, in fact, he mentions Albert Bandura in this, who was a student of B.F. Skinner's, who said, yeah, I believe in that, but there seems to be something else at work.
Right.
And so over time, what has evolved is, was it called self-theories?
Right.
That sometimes I have my own reasons, whether I get rewarded for it or not, I have my own reasons for doing things.
Right.
Or for continuing to do things.
Right.
And that's what this self-efficacy about is about.
Right. Mm-hmm. So self-efficacy is referred to as the person's belief in his or her own capacity to execute certain behaviors or achieve particular things.
Right. That's right.
So when a person has a high level of self-efficacy, they exhibit confidence, they believe in themselves, and so are more likely to take on responsibilities, they're more likely to take on challenges and you know, work to achieve or to accomplish things in their life.
That's right. And it led to this whole notion of the expectancy outcome theory. And, and that is that I expect to be able to do this and I want that outcome.
Right.
So so it's more internally driven and it has something to do with your internal state rather than some external set of circumstances or some external reward.
Right. Mm-hmm. And self-efficacy is important in a lot of aspects of life.
Right.
Whether we're talking about sports psychology or performance psychology or business or education, whatever the domain we're talking about, self-efficacy is a really important factor that contributes to success.
Right.
And so here, Den provides us five things that contribute to one's sense of self-efficacy.
That's right. I think there was an Elmo doll. I think it was from Sesame Street that said, I can do it myself. I think it was the Elmo doll. But for years on Sesame Street, it was, I'm pretty sure it was the Elmo doll who said, I can do it myself.
Right.
And that was to teach young children self-efficacy, to be able to do it yourself.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so what this article is about is how do you foster this in children of school age?
Right.
So we can use certain things in very young children, but how do you instill this feeling of I can in school-age children?
Right.
Absolutely. And he lists four or five things that we can do.
The first is learning from others' experience.
Right.
You know, kids learn very well by seeing other people and seeing other people do things. So we have, we have this whole area of psychology, of learning theory called modeling.
Right.
You know, where we learn from seeing others. We learn from what others do. And this is sort of where that old adage comes from, you know, that kids don't necessarily do what you say, but they do what you do.
Right. And you're going, and when you go to the Philippines, you're going to call this vicarious experience.
Exactly.
And what the other place that it works is if you're in a classroom or on an athletic field or in a band, and you look at other people and say, well, if she can do that, I can do that.
Right.
If he got accepted, I know I can get accepted. Mm-hmm. And so that's vicarious experience. Right. Vicarious persuasion,
mm-hmm.
Is that you look at other people and say, well, if they can, I can.
Right.
Or yeah. If they did it, I can do it.
Yeah, yesterday, speaking of us playing soccer yesterday, so again, I'm coaching 6 mm-hmm. and 7-year-olds. And there's a couple of players that are really good players, mm-hmm. Especially for their age, and they're going to be fantastic players. So right. I'm trying to kind of push, sort of doing that scaffolding and pushing their mm-hmm. boundaries a little bit as far as, you know, what they're able to do. And I'm teaching them different ways to control the ball. And we were working on something just before the match yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and one of the girls. Undoubtedly, she saw it somewhere because she didn't see it from me. This was not something I tried to teach her. Okay. But there's a kick called a Rabona. Mm-hmm. And what that means is sort of you have a plant foot down. So say your left foot is on the ground. And you take your right foot and go around the back of your left foot and mm-hmm. hit the ball and chip it that way. So it's like you're kind of going around and hitting it backwards. It's kind of difficult to explain. But she was doing that. And, like, I have no idea where she saw it. She saw it somewhere.
Okay.
She didn't know what it was called. She didn't know anything else about it. She just had seen some older boys doing that and was working on it. And she did it very well.
Right. Vicarious performance.
And it was just from watching somebody, because nobody taught her that specifically.
And that's exactly what Bandura said. He said, sometimes we don't get reinforced. We're not taught. Mm-hmm. Nobody's teaching us and reinforcing us. It's just something we do on our own.
Right. The second thing Den mentions here is previous performance.
That's right.
So our own experience.
Sure. I've done things like this before. Right. I'm sure I can do it again.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, because and this goes to things that we've talked about many times before. Mm-hmm. The more things you do, the more things you will be able to do.
Right.
Because you're going to take a little piece from here, a little piece from there, and you're going to be able to mm-hmm. build right. a new set of skills from your existing set of skills.
Right. Right.
So, like with her yesterday, it was what she was doing was sort of a combination of 3 or 4 other things that she had learned,
right.
and she was putting them together to do this new trick.
How old is she?
She's like 7.
I'm like 7 years old. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
That was fun.
I saw another one of the little boys that I've coached since he was 3 years old. He's not on my team this year, but we're going to fix that, I think, next season. And I was watching a little bit of his match, and he is standing in the back, because I've always emphasized with my players that defense is critical. Right. And I see him standing in the back. He's the only defender back.
Mm-hmm.
And he is directing. He's telling me,
because they chase the ball at those ages.
Yeah.
Right. Everybody calls
mm-hmm.
him.
And he's standing back and he's directing and he's yelling at this guy to go over here and that guy to go over there. I'm like, that is just so beautiful.
To be that young.
Yeah. So I love that stuff. The third thing here is social persuasion.
Right.
And this is, again, we're getting back to social learning theory.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, the what you see others doing, the idea of being socially appropriate, mm-hmm. the idea of meeting social norms, all of that teaches and encourages self-efficacy.
Right. And the other part of this, the second half of social, is verbal persuasion, mm-hmm. where other people can tell you, no, honey, I know that you can accomplish this. You know, I know that you can pass this course. I know mm-hmm. that you can get accepted. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure that you can do this. And so other people tell you that you mm-hmm. can, and you can develop it that way. And of course, who more than teachers to fill that role?
Mm-hmm. Right, absolutely. And one of the things that he emphasizes here too is the homeschool collaboration.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. between the parents and the teachers, that communication is really important.
Right, and if both are giving the shot, and conversely, if both are being negative, you have just the opposite effect. So
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Number 4 is physiological features.
Right.
How, you know, when you feel good,
that's right,
you have more confidence. Mm-hmm. And so when we overemphasize high stakes testing and some of those things that really foster stress mm-hmm. and anxiety and frustration and all of that, it doesn't do very well when it comes to self-efficacy.
That's right. And this is a physiologic state that has something to do with arousal and confidence and this internal feeling that you have. And you bring that to the task, you know, which makes it possible.
Absolutely.
To do it.
Mm-hmm. Students do far better when we don't or resist the urge or tendency to overemphasize or mm-hmm. overstress activities or tests or these big things
that
they have in their mm-hmm. life. Because the more the more you appear stressed about it, again, right. going back to number one, the modeling, the right. more you're stressed about it, the more stressed they're going to be about it.
Where we see this play itself out is with our high stakes testing,
yeah.
where schools have these pep rallies and these things, and
yeah.
kids who are easily able to pass the test
mm-hmm.
suddenly become very anxious
yeah.
because, wow, maybe this is something I should worry
yeah.
about.
Yeah. yeah.
So, yeah, keep that down. Keep yeah. that under control.
And finally, genetics.
Yeah.
And I like that he mentions genetics because, you know, there is a heritability to this.
Right.
You know, there is this idea that some of this sense of self-efficacy could come from your family.
Right. And of course, we're never sure whether it comes from
right.
how you were raised. But there seems to be some personality factor here
right.
that there are people who have a can-do attitude. There are children who are very happy
right.
playing by themselves
right.
and building things. And there are other children who need more support.
Right.
And adult participation. So there is a heritability factor.
Right. And I'm glad that you even mentioned it that way because... You know, we know that, and I'm saying that with a lot more confidence than I probably should, but we're pretty confident that you're born with a particular temperament.
Right. Yeah.
That temperament is the foundation of what later becomes your personality.
That's right.
But that temperament, you know, those kids that are really easy, that have what they call the easy temperament, so
right.
they're adaptable, they're adjustable, and all that kind of,
mm-hmm.
those kids tend to have a higher sense of self-efficacy
right.
than those who are more difficult or those who mm-hmm. are slow to warm and that kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, a difficult temperament.
And you're born with that.
Right, that's right. No, so I think temperament is an issue here.
Yeah.
And that's the heritability factor.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. So we have these five things, and, you know, as parents are and teachers, we can do things. We can help improve and increase our kids' and students' sense of self-efficacy. Because,
right.
again, we know that when they have a high sense of self-efficacy, mm-hmm. they tend to perform better. They tend to
right.
Work harder. They tend to, you know, meet right. the expectations that we place before them
right.
and feel good about it.
That's right. This is what I expect you to do.
Right.
This is what I expect you to be able to do. And they rise to that standard.
Right. And that third part is, this is what mm-hmm. I expect you to do. This is what I want you to do.
Right.
And I believe that you can do it.
And I believe you can.
And because right. I believe you can do it, you're going to be more likely
That's
to believe
right.
you can do it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So check out the column. He
yeah.
writes about a little bit more detail
right.
Than some of the things that we talked about. But I think it's a great mm-hmm. read. It's not too long.
Right. Yeah, it's a short,
it.
Manageable bite.
The link is in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can check that out. So. All right. So, quick notes. Make sure that you're following us on YouTube and iTunes and mm-hmm. all the I's and tubes and
T's. I's and T's.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. iTunes, Twitter, YouTube. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I's and T's.
I's and T's.
Okay.
And we are we have our Patreon page going, as we mentioned this past week.
Mm-hmm.
We have our first patron.
Our
first mm-hmm. supporter, which is fantastic. We
Thank
are,
you
we
very
are
much
on our
that,
way.
By the way.
So excited, and I can't wait to reach some of our milestones so that we
yeah.
can get some of the help in that we need. So you can check that out at patreon.com/thementalbreakdown. Again, the link is in the show notes and all. So, all right, that's it.
Until
next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.